Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, welcome. As you come in, just worship the Lord this morning. May our eyes see the King even this morning and this day. Glory to God. The Lord is good. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. The Lord. Yela kunda bashe karabasa. High above all the earth, I see the Lord. I lift up your praise to Him this morning. Oh, may our eyes see and behold a King this morning in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Oh, Isaiah said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up. My goodness. And His train filled that temple. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The train of His robe fills the temple. Hallelujah. A cloud of heavenly worshipers surrounding His throne. Hallelujah. We rejoice with them now as we cry, holy, holy is the Lamb. Glory to God. The Lamb alone. Hallelujah. I see the Lord. I see the Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. I see the Lord. Can you see Him? Can you see Him? Ah, glory to God. He reigns, he reigns, he reigns, he reigns. Let's share the room, please. Let's share the room. Glory to God. Well, good morning, everyone. I'm not sure if it's afternoon yet for anybody, but good afternoon. If it's already afternoon where you are, well, praise the Lord. Let's take a moment and share the room. Let's share the room and invite people into the room. You know, that song, so beautiful. You know, that it sang, it said, look, Isaiah, he beheld the glory of the Lord in the temple. My goodness. May we behold the Lord today in his splendor. And in his glory, glory to God. In the year in which King Uzziah died, Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1, I beheld, he said, with his eyes open. It wasn't with his eyes closed. It was with his eyes wide open. He beheld the glory of God. I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And he began to describe the things he saw. Above it stood the seraphims. One had six wings, each one of them. You know, and one cried to another, holy, 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 the Lord of hosts, the whole earth is full of his glory. Right away, we learned something there. The whole earth, they said, is full of the glory of God. Well, people don't often see his glory. But those who are in the realm of the spirit, that's all they see. It's the glory of God. And, we need to be walking in that realm of the spirit. It's like being enclosed in a bubble. And that is the glory of God. That was the glory that fell off of Adam and Eve, when they sinned. And the Bible says that once their glory fell, they saw themselves as naked. Well, the glory had covered them the whole time. My goodness, the glory of God. May we be covered with the glory of God. And we know also by praising him often, we will be covered with a bright Shekinah glory. So it is important that we praise the Lord. Praise him in the morning. Praise him in the noontime. Praise him in the evening. Praise him all the day long. Especially like this in the womb of the morning as we come to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The psalmist said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Can we praise him this morning? Glory to God. The Lord is good. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, holy. Holy in all his ways, righteous over all his works. The Lord is so good. Hallelujah. Is the Lord good to you? My goodness. The Lord has been good to me. And this day is so pregnant with good tidings. The Bible says that thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Psalm 110 verse 3. You hear me quote it all the time because there's something that happens in the womb of the morning, he said. As we enter into the beauties of holiness, he will command even the dew of youth upon us. We will receive strength from the Lord. There's a song that says, I come to receive strength. We will receive blessings from God Almighty today. Hallelujah. This day is pregnant with good tidings. Hallelujah. Good tidings of great joy. Hallelujah. And I receive it for myself. I receive it for my family, my wife, my children on this day, and children's children. Receive it for yourself. Bless the Lord, he said, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. That's right. Including forgiveness of all our sins and healing of all our sicknesses. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Now, I pray that the Lord will bless everyone that's in the room here with us. As you go through the room, we ask you to invite others. Let them come in and share the word of the Lord with us. We got to get this message out. It's important. We got to get it out. You know, so we pray that people will come and hear the message. You can share the room now and even later, you know, and let people hear what the Lord is saying. The Bible says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. He said that multiple times, seven times at least in the first couple of chapters, you know, chapters two and three, seven times he said that. Every single time he's, you know, gave a message to each one of those churches. He always said at the end, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Lord is speaking to the churches. And I want to use Isaiah chapter 50, you know, this morning, and verse 4 as a lead off prayer that I want to lead off in this room with this morning. Glory to God. So, Isaiah chapter 50. And verse 4, he says, the Lord hath given me the tongue of the learned. I pray, Lord, that you inspire me, inspire my tongue today to be as a tongue of the learned. Let me know how to speak a word in season, not only to people here in this room today, but all day long. Colossians 4 and 6. You know, he said, let your speech be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer every man. It's based upon the same scripture. You know, he wakeneth morning by morning. Lord, awaken my mind this morning. I'm making my eyes to see the King. Awaken my ears to hear as the learned. Glory to God. You know, we don't want to be as the unlearned, you know, but we want to be as the learned. The Lord God has opened my ears. Opened out my ears this morning, Lord. Let me not be rebellious. Neither let me turn away. Glory to God. Let me hear what the Lord is saying. And Father, give me understanding. I pray for everyone in this room. Pray this prayer for yourself. Because if any man hears the word of the kingdom and has no understanding, then the birds of the air, which is the enemy, will come and catch it away from him. It's what Jesus said. You know, so we want to have understanding here this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we will not lose that word. That word will not be cut away from us, but we will enjoy the word of the Lord. We will understand it, and it will make our lives flourish in the things that God is telling us. Glory to God. So good morning, everyone. Welcome. I thank you for joining us, Patricia, Lorna, Orchid, and Mammy. Welcome everyone, Grace and Julia and Pearl. God bless you all. Thank you for joining us here. Others may join later on, but we are going to get started. You know, so, but if you haven't shared the room yet, please do so. Share it first on your Clubhouse. I see only 7 shares so far. Share it on your Clubhouse and then share it to your friends. You know, just randomly click on any persons that you see that may be online, or if they're green. If they come in, they come in. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, yesterday we dealt with the topic of ambassadorship, well, citizenship and ambassadorship in the kingdom of God. And I did spend quite a bit of time, you know, in explaining the concept of the kingdom. And I said we will continue today. I'm going to build on what we did yesterday. Now, if you missed yesterday's lesson, I cannot do, you know, enough review of it to justify it, because we were here for about 2 hours yesterday. You have to go and listen to the replay to catch it all. But I will say this, that there was a plan in God's mind from the beginning. And I will say this, that when God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, that they may and give them, that they may have dominion, let them have dominion. I will say this, that since we are on the subject of God's kingdom, that kingdom, a kingdom is a king's dominion. You can merge those two words together. King's dominion will give you kingdom. So God was going to put Adam in charge of God's kingdom here on earth. Glory to God. So we also read in Psalms 115 and verse 16 that the heaven of heavens belong unto the Lord, but the earth has he given unto the sons of. You know, God did not have any plan to, you know, I mean, to rule the earth by himself. That was going to be Adam's responsibility. That's why he said, let them have dominion. You know, God is the king. Of course, we read that also yesterday in the book of Isaiah 43, where God said to them, I am your king. So, but in the kingdom, God is giving dominion, or was at the beginning giving dominion to Adam. You know, there is a difference between dominion and authority. Now, when Jesus sent out his disciples in Luke chapter 10, he gave them authority and power over demons and devils and demons to cast them out. And he said, you know, behold, I give you power, which is authority, you know, over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. You can tread upon serpents and scorpions and all these things. Well, that's delegated power. That's limited, actually, at that point, you know, because, you know, they even came back rejoicing, saying, oh, Lord, devils were subject to us and all that. And Jesus said, well, rejoice not only just in that, but the fact that your names are written in heaven. So, but dominion is different from just authority. Dominion is you are in charge. You do what you wish. You are the king. You make the rules. You make the call. And we see that God, when Adam was created in Genesis 2 and 7, he put into him the Spirit of God. And it was a complete package that he deposited inside him. With that package, Adam had instant knowledge of all things. Adam never had to learn how to speak, learn even how to crawl. He was created a grown man. He was crafted in the image and likeness of God. Well, he was crafted in God's image. You know, the likeness of God came from the Spirit of God that God breathed into him. You know, the God wanted him to be God kind, not mankind. God kind was what God was looking for. A generation of God kind. Let us be like us. God speaking to his son said that. So we see that Adam could not do it. In Genesis chapter 5, we begin to read the lineage of Adam, but he could not do it. He could not do what God said, because we are told that God created Adam in God's image. You know, and created them inside of Adam was male and female. They were both in God's image. But when Adam began to bring forth his own children, you know, had already fallen from the likeness of God and the image. And he brought forth a son and called his name Seth in Genesis 5 and verse 3. But he brought that son in his own likeness. After his own image. Well, something was already lost there. You know, he could have brought forth that son in the image of God and in the likeness of God. But unfortunately, they had fallen at that point. He couldn't pass it on. You can't give what you don't have anymore. So he couldn't pass it on. But it is important for us to know this, because Romans 3:23 tells us that they fell from something significant, the glory of God that Jesus came to reinstate. So that's enough of the summary about the what God intended for man. But one more thing I would say about that, you know, just to let you know how important it is. Why is it important? Well, it is so important because, and I'll tell you why. You know, today I'm going to be challenging certain traditions and belief systems. Yesterday I challenged some. Today I will be challenging more. Certain traditions and belief systems that tell us that, look, you know, God was tired on the day 7. That's why he rested from his works. First of all, I want to tell you that the word that's translated rested in that place is the same word that is used in Genesis chapter 8 verse 4. Remember, we read Genesis chapter 8 verse 5 when we started this room on October 1, you know, and you know, that's the scripture God gave us from that time we started this room. But Genesis, the previous verse in Genesis chapter 8 and verse 4 says that the ark, say the ark rested in the 7th month on the 17th day of the month upon the mountains of Ararat. That word rested, the same word that was used concerning God resting from his works. Now, was the ark tired? No. The ark wasn't tired. The ark was, ceased. It came to a stop, is what that word rested means. So that's the first thing I want to throw away. Let us throw away, because our belief systems sometimes hinder us from understanding what God is communicating or trying to communicate. We covered that yesterday extensively. So, why is this important? Well, it is important because God wasn't tired, but he stopped. He came to a stopping point. And why? Well, because he had reached the crescendo, you know, or the peak of his imagination. You know, God, having foreknowledge of all things, imagined anything and he called it forth. As he imagined stuff, he called them for day 1, day 2, day 3, day 4, day 5, day 6. Finally, he imagined himself, you know, because he put all these things in place and imagined someone just like himself. to have dominion over everything. So imagine Adam. And he crafted. He didn't just call Adam out like he called out all the other stuff. No. He actually crafted the man. You know, all this other stuff he called out by his word and things like that. This man, he crafted him. He was the work of his hands. You know, he really loved what he did. And when he finished, he put him in the total package, Genesis 2 and 7, of his self. And then he said, yeah, now I can rest. The man has arrived. And he told Adam, Adam, you got this. So he came to Adam and said, okay. And remember, Adam, instant knowledge of everything. Adam, what would you call this? And whatever Adam said, that's it. You know, and then he brings something else. Well, what about this one? And whatever Adam said, that's it. You know, and God said, yeah, this man, he's got it. So now I can rest. So that's what it was all about. It wasn't that God was tired, folks. So let's get that one out of our heads. That hinders us from understanding this critical thing, that it was because God felt that the complete package was in this man. So he pulled back. He said, now I can relax. This man's got it. He got it. You know, so that's why God rested. And that rested means he ceased from his walks. You know, it's in another place and talks about God ceasing from his walks. You know, so it's not, you know, being tired. Now, in the book of Isaiah 40, you can read from about verse 21, and you will see, you know, all the things that is said about God. You know, that he is the one that's seated upon the circle of the earth and all of that. And if you continue to read it, you get to verse 28. It will say, has thou not known and has thou not heard the everlasting God, the creator, the Lord, created the ends of the earth. He fainteth not, neither is weary, doesn't get tired. There is no searching of his understanding. So he wasn't tired. But he reached the peak of his imagination, and there was nothing else to imagine after himself. And Adam had everything that God wanted it to be. So he was done. And he said, you got this. And Adam did have it for a while. You know, Adam has super knowledge. He had dominion. You know, he put all the animals in place. You know, I said before, I said, look, God never created any wild animals. They were not wild. You know, they were in subjection to Adam. They came to Adam. Adam told them something, called them their names, sent them back to do whatever. And anything that Adam was in charge. You know, and whatever he said went, you know, and the animals became wild when they could no longer sense that glory around Adam. The glory that was around Adam put everything in subjection. And that glory, when that bubble got busted, that glory departed. So everything around him started to become rebellious. You know, that's how wild animals were created. That's how the animals became wild. God never created them wild. When he created them, he said he looked at everything and it was beautiful. They were not wild. And so, but the glory of God that departed from the man caused those things to start becoming rebellious. They could not get leadership anymore. There was no leader. There was a glory of God that put those animals in subjection and give them direction and leadership. And when they could no longer sense that, they just became wild because they didn't know what to do. And in their generations after that, they became wild. So it is important for us to get all of that understanding so that we know what God is trying to restore. Now, today, let's move forward into where we stopped yesterday. We talked about citizenship. Then we also talked about ambassadorship. We are citizens of heaven, but ambassadors upon the earth. That's very key for us to understand. And the place where we left it off yesterday was when I started talking about ambassadors. you know, how that an ambassador, you know, does not live in their own original country, but they are in the country where they serve, you know, but when they are there, they do not become citizens of that foreign country, and they are not subject to the laws of that foreign country, but they remain citizens of their own country. As a matter of fact, ambassadorship is the highest form of citizenship when you are in a foreign land representing your own country. You know, a citizen of the United States may travel to a foreign country and they might have some, you know, maybe some privileges, I don't know, you know, but, you know, maybe they do, maybe they don't. And if they come in there and register themselves with the consulate, they, you know, then America knows they're there and they protect them. They have some limited protection. But when an ambassador goes, they carry the whole power of the United States, and not just United States, any other country too. The whole backing. You better don't mess with them because you have war on your hands. You know, so they are fully loaded with complete authority. They have the, you know, the represented kingdom. And we spoke yesterday that the, you know, we gave many scriptures yesterday on how you must speak only the kingdom language, not your own language. The ambassador must represent the interest. You know, if the policy of the United States is to not negotiate with terrorists, the ambassador cannot do anything different, even if his family is kidnapped in the foreign land where he went with his family and everything. His family is kidnapped. They try to get them to ransom. His policy will still be the United States does not negotiate with terrorists. That's it. So that is important because we got into it a little bit yesterday, that we must declare and stand in the Constitution. I started to talk about the Constitution a little bit yesterday. The Bible is the Constitution of the Kingdom of Heaven. And I will give you an acronym for Bible today. So the Bible, this is my own. I prefer this one, actually. Basic Instruction Book for Living Every Day. Now, I've heard this thing that says, you know, basic instruction book before leaving Earth. And I want to challenge that because, you know, yesterday we talked about, and I'll get into it a little more today. Yesterday we talked about, you know, this message of the kingdom being a lot more different than, you know, just give your life to Christ so that you can go to heaven. You know, the focus has always been going to heaven. But that, well, that was not the focus for Jesus at all, even though he promised it and he said, I will come back for you in John chapter 14. But that was not his prayer when he prayed in John chapter 17. In John chapter 17, when he was praying, you know, he was about to leave and he was praying for his disciples and asking the Father to keep them. He said in John 17 and 15, I pray not that you should take them from the world, but that you should keep them from the wicked one. And he said, Holy Father, keep through thy own name, even those whom you have given unto me. Now, his prayer was not that they should go to heaven. You know, that was not his prayer. His prayer was that the Father should not take them from the world, but that he should keep them from the wicked one. So there is something lost, you know, when we focus strictly on as soon as we give our lives to Christ, then we're just waiting to go to heaven. There's a big, big gap and something is lost. If that was all that was in God's mind, then everybody, as soon as they get converted, as soon as they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, they should go straight to heaven. But that's not what happens. You know, we are left here on earth because of the prayer that Jesus prayed. And there is a purpose and there is a reason for that. So what should it be? What should we be doing while we are on earth? So rather than thinking of the Bible as basic instruction book before leaving earth, because again, that focuses on leaving earth. Well, Let's think of the Bible as a basic instruction book for living every day. That's right. While you are here, you must represent and you must know the book, the Constitution of the Kingdom of Heaven, which is the Bible. Isaiah 8 and 20 tells you that. Anything that is happening, if it is not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them, he said. So we always have to go back to the law and the testimony, which is the constitution of the kingdom. So the king has a domain. And that's why it's called kingdom, king's domain. In this kingdom, which is the kingdom of heaven, let me begin to tell you the importance that Jesus placed on this kingdom. And I am going to talk about, you know, we've talked about citizenship, we've talked about ambassadorship and all of that. But I want to bring another aspect which I want to challenge that people don't understand the role. We've talked about the individual's role in the kingdom. But I want to talk about the role of the church in the kingdom as well. And this is something that people don't understand. And people haven't understood this for a long time. You know, so we want to challenge some of the misconceptions about, you know, about the role of the church or what the church is supposed to be. People think of the church, church folks think of the church as if the church were the kingdom of God, you know, and that is far from it. The church is an essential part of the kingdom, but it is not the kingdom. The church, the instrument that God will use to establish kingdom rule upon the earth, but not the church itself is not the kingdom. When people think of the church as a kingdom, they miss a lot. And I want to talk about that today to help us get on the correct track. Now, the good news is the news of the kingdom. It's not the news of the church. When Jesus said what he said about church and what he said about kingdom, you know, I want to let you know that although the word church appears in the book of Revelation in the first few three chapters multiple times, in the life of Jesus himself, when he was talking, I want to let you know that Jesus mentioned the word church only three times. Three times he mentioned the word church. Yet in the Gospels, he spoke about the kingdom 117 times. You can check it out yourself. Mentioned the word church only three times. And when he was talking about the first place was, you know, he said, well, you know, flesh and blood has not revealed this, you know, to you, but my Father in heaven. And upon this rock, which is the revelation, not Peter is not the rock. Upon this revelation of who the Christ is, I will build my church. Talked about it then. You know, then he goes on to talk about it when he's talking about, you know, how you should deal with your brothers, you know, when they offend you and so forth. You know, if your brother offends you, you need to talk about that, you know, Matthew 18. If your brother offends you, then, you know, go to them and talk to them first. And if they don't hear you, then take two or three and go talk to them. If they won't hear you, then you tell to the church. And if they won't hear the church, then let them be considered an outcast. So, you know, those are the only places where I talk about the church. Yet he talked about the kingdom. Kingdom is mentioned 117 times. You know, I talked about all the parables that Jesus gave in the Matthew, in Mark, in Luke, everything about their kingdom. Multiple parables. Read Matthew 13, parables of the kingdom. You know, read Matthew 20, parables of the kingdom. Read Matthew 25, parables of the kingdom. Read Mark chapter 4, parables of the kingdom. Read Luke 19, parables of the kingdom. And so on and so forth. Parables. And Jesus was always talking about that. So it is important for us to understand the difference between the church and the kingdom. So today I'm going to try to call some of those out. You know, being church, having this lack of understanding or wrong belief system causes many believers to be church-minded rather than being kingdom-minded. And call out some of the differences. A church-minded person says, come to church. Now, come to church is great. I love people to come to church. I'm pastor of a church too. So come to church is good. But kingdom-minded says, go into the world. That's the marketplace. That's what Jesus said. Go you into all the world, you know, and preach the gospel to every creature. And teach them. Make them disciples. You got to teach the principles of the kingdom to the world. You can't sit in church waiting for people to come to church. You know, so that's one big difference. Church-minded people, we've reduced ministry to church boundaries. You know, if we can, you know, and this is good. We should do these things. I'm not saying this. I'm not knocking it. But that's not all. If you can be an usher, you can be a greeter, you can work in the children's ministry, you can work in some volunteer ministry, you can preach, you can do this on the platform, then we are fulfilled. You can sing in the choir or praise team, then we think we have arrived. And that's the kingdom. That's not the kingdom. You know, those are ministries and ministry activities, you know, that we do. Kingdom-minded people will have a vision to think or to dream or act outside the church box. You know, they want to heal the wounds of the neighborhood, the workplace, the community, and so on. You know, that's what they want to do. They want to go out to the community. They want to reach out to the fatherless, reach out to those who are, you know, on the streets and so forth. They're kingdom-minded people. They will not leave the wounded like that. I'm going to tell you a story from Luke chapter 10, which we call the Good Samaritan story. Well, I want to bring to you the church-minded people, the religious leaders, the Levites, and the priests that came by and saw the wounded person like that and left him there. Maybe he wasn't a member of their church. Maybe they judged him. Well, you should have stayed in Jerusalem, which is the house of God, because Jesus told the story. He said, a certain man went from Jerusalem to Jericho. Jerusalem is considered the house of God. Jericho is like Sin City. What are you going from Jerusalem to Sin City for? You know, so you should have stayed in the house of God. So good for you, you know, when you got attacked on the way. Religious, church-minded folks hurrying off to their church, whatever they're going to do in church rituals, they left their wounded like that. Now think of the Samaritan. You can consider the Samaritan in that story somebody that was kingdom-minded. They didn't care that this person went to church or was wounded because he left Jerusalem and trying to go to. They didn't ask any of those questions. But they attended to his wounds. Now, church-minded people, we see the good news or the gospel in terms of life after death. Oh, if you give your life to Christ, you will go to heaven. That's a church message. The kingdom message sees the message of the kingdom about life in the kingdom, representing God's kingdom as ambassadors here on earth. Now, you're not an ambassador when you get to heaven. No, an ambassador does not live in his own country. When we get to heaven, that's our real home country. You know, you can read about that in Hebrews chapter 11. It said these people were looking for a country. You know, they were looking, they were looking, they were looking. They didn't see it, but they kept believing. Now, that's our country. Heaven really is. But we will never be ambassadors when we are in heaven. You know, you are an ambassador now while you are on earth. Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. We are ambassadors for Christ now. The kingdom-minded will see how you live for Christ. You know, the church message is, when you die tomorrow, where will you spend eternity? You know, so give your life to Christ so that you can figure out where you will spend eternity when you die. That's the church message. Well, that falls short. And that is the reason why this world continues to be a mess. The kingdom message is, come, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and live a life of service to God while you represent him on earth and establish the principles of the kingdom of God wherever you are. That's kingdom message. You will go to heaven later. Forget about that. You know, not that we should forget about it in terms of not preparing. But, you know, people are so focused on going to heaven that they forget to live now for Christ and represent him while they are on the earth. So focus on going to heaven. And Jesus talked about that. We must be ready. Matthew 24 talks about things that are coming. Luke 21 talks about be ye also ready, watching for the coming of the Lord. But you cannot just take one scripture and focus on that. It's like a jigsaw puzzle. There are 500 or 1,000 pieces. You take 25 pieces out of that 5,000 or 1,000 pieces. You cannot build the whole picture. And that's what we do. We just grab a few scriptures here and there and that's it. You got to take everything together. If you take everything together, you will see this trend of the kingdom from the beginning was lost and God always trying to get it back. You will see Daniel prophesying about this kingdom. We covered that yesterday in the prophecies, Daniel chapter 2, Daniel chapter 4, Daniel chapter 7 and so forth. The kingdoms of this world must become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. That's the end game. Revelation 11, 15. We covered that yesterday. But there is a process to that. How do we get there? This is the message that is lost, completely lost. And you find a story, which we also covered, you know, in Judges chapter 9, the trees of the world, they said, they go to the, you know, good trees, the olive, you know, the fig and the vine tree, come and reign over us. And they said, no. So then they went to the rubbish tree, which is a bramble tree. So we covered that yesterday. Now, that's what's missing. You know, the church, you know, is living this state of apathy. We really don't care about what's going on in the world. We just want to go to heaven. Well, you know, heaven, God doesn't need you in heaven now. He needs you here on earth. In heaven, you will not be representing God. You know, you will be in heaven already. Here, we need to represent him. And show people, teach people. Jesus said, teaching them to observe all the things that I have told you. We have to teach them. This is kingdom message. Now, church-minded people also think that, look, everything has to be under one roof. You know, as long as we're expanding, you know, aspects of our ministry, you know, inside the church box, then we feel fulfilled. Well, that's not how it works. The more activities we have, the more things we do, when we come to church, you know, everybody feels fulfilled. No. You know, those activities are necessary. But the kingdom is way bigger than that. The kingdom of God must influence society in every part of it. Politics, school, business, yes, politics, because this is the story in Judges chapter 9, not the kind of politics of the world, but God's politics, which is God reigns. The church must be the one to bring in everlasting righteousness and to anoint the most holy. The church is the one that's going to do it. And that, you know, it, things are being delayed until the church recognizes that, that this is their role. Matthew 24, verse 14 says, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world to all nations for a witness, and then shall the end come. You know, but it is the gospel of the kingdom, not whatever gospel people are preaching today. The gospel of the kingdom must be preached. Church-minded makes people feel satisfied, you know, as long as, you know, you are in the church, you just think you fulfill your calling. Kingdom-minded understands that your calling is not limited to the walls of the church, but everywhere. There are two stories I want to tell you in the book of Acts. It started from, you know, when the disciples or the apostles said, look, we cannot serve tables, when people were complaining that, you know, widows were being left out in daily ministration. And the disciples said, look, we must give ourselves to prayer and to the word of God. We don't have time for, you know, serving tables. You know, so what we want you to do is, you know, find out seven people that are full of the Holy Ghost and, you know, put them over this business. But we ourselves must continue to preach the gospel. So these people went, they appointed seven of these people, you know, to preach the gospel. Of those seven, there were two of them called Stephen and Philip. They were part of those that were appointed to serve tables. Now, this is not the Philip that is the apostle. This is the Philip that is the deacon. You know, you can read that in Acts chapter 6, the first five verses. You know, the people were pleased. They appointed Stephen in verse 5 of Acts 6, a man full of faith and the Holy Ghost, and also Philip, and he gave the other names of the people there. Now, these same Stephen and Philip, listen to what they did. Now, they were appointed to serve tables. They were not appointed to be given the microphone or be on stage. The apostle said, we got that. You guys go deal with, you know, the widows and stuff, you know, and the ministration. But this same Stephen, now this is kingdom. This same Stephen, in verse 8 of Acts chapter 6, the Bible says he was full of faith and power. And he did great wonders and miracles among the people. He was not on stage, but he did great wonders and miracles among the people in the marketplace. That's kingdom. Church is, well, you know, you're not one of the ministers, you know, so you go do this something else. Kingdom is, look, whether I'm one of the ministers or not, wherever I am, I'm still representing. And this man represented. He did great miracles and wonders among the people. Likewise, also, Philip went down to Samaria in chapter 8. And in verse 6 of chapter 8 of Acts, the Bible says that when Philip got to Samaria, he did incredible miracles down there. Now, remember, he was not even one of the apostles. He was not even one that was supposed to be preaching. You know, but he did incredible miracles there. And there was great joy in that city. And all the people gave in one accord heed to the things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Acts chapter 8, verse 6. And there was such a revival in that place, you know, so that Philip even had to call for the apostles to come and help. Yeah, but this was kingdom. He didn't stay in the church looking for, you know, sinners to come. He went out to cities. And this is how they preached the gospel in the early church. They went to cities. They preached to whole cities. So that's kingdom. Now, church, on the other hand, here's what church also does. You know, there may be church, like the place where we have our local church here in my city. There are about six or so, I don't know, four, five to six many churches on that street. Church-mindedness is, we don't even speak to the other church. Even in our own building, we have three different churches because some two other congregations rent the building from us at different times. You know, church-mindedness is, you know, you don't participate. You don't even know what they're doing. You don't care. And you don't help in their growth because you're always competing. A church may be right across the street, right in the same building, right next door, you know, but, you know, we don't care. You know, when we see their church flourishing, church mindedness, instead of rejoicing, they start to compete because they are church minded. They are living inside a box. You know, kingdom mindedness says there's joy in heaven over a sinner that rejoices. So whether that sinner is coming to the Lord through our own quote-unquote church, which is not really, we shouldn't call it that. But, you know, if they are coming to that or coming to the Lord through the next door or whatever, it doesn't matter. They're coming into the kingdom and we should rejoice. Kingdom-mindedness also says, look, I mean, you guys over there, you are better in the singles ministry. You are better in the marriage ministry. You are better in the deliverance ministry. So when somebody comes to service with us, and we know they need these things where we are, you are better, we'll send you over there. We'll send them over there. That's kingdom-minded. Church folks would never, church-mindedness would never do that. You know, church-minded people, they recycle members among churches. Oh, as long as we can recruit people from other church, you know, to come to our church, we feel fulfilled. But just recycling members. They leave from one church, they go to another church, and they think that's expanding kingdom. No, you have not expanded anything. You just recycled. Kingdom-minded people go and make disciples of all men. They are fishermen. When you want to fish, you don't wait for fish to come to you. You go out where the fish are. That's how we fish. Now, we cannot squeeze the kingdom into the church box. And for too long, people have tried to do that. And we need to get a church, get the kingdom, I mean, get the church thing, you know, out of our hearts. It's not that we shouldn't go to church, but get this church orientation, you know, out of our hearts. It's not only about church. It's about the kingdom of God. You know, now, in the New Testament, God's kingdom is ironically both a present and a future, you know, but today people only think about the future. We don't think about, you know, the present. The present is completely lost. We just think about, oh, all the great things that God will do, you know, I mean, the joy we will have when we get to heaven. You know, the word that's translated as church is a Greek word, ekklesia. You know, we get an English word, ecclesiology, out of that, which refers to, you know, the nature and study of the church. It literally, ecclesia, we are told, literally means the called out ones. Well, called out from what? You know, so that's what we need to think about. Being kingdom-minded is so important. This is part of the kingdom message. We are to represent the kingdom, not our church. That's right. We're to represent Christ, not our church. You know, most believers, you know, as long as you can invite somebody to church, they're good. And if we, you know, try to bring somebody out of darkness to light and so forth and get them converted to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, we're not happy if they don't come to church. I mean, it's great if they come to church because they need to be discipled. We need to follow through on them. It's great. But if they come into the kingdom, whether they come to my church or not, that's amazing. Because joy, there is joy in heaven over one sinner that repents. Didn't say one person that goes to church. There is joy in heaven over one sinner that repents and gives their life to Christ. You know, so that is so key. We need to understand those differences. You know, these are some of the things that we need to challenge to help us get a better understanding, of the role of the church and the role of the kingdom. The kingdom of God does not mean a bigger church. The church is only a means to demonstrating their kingdom. Now, so, you know, the bigger the church is, doesn't mean that the kingdom is any bigger. It could just be that we rotated believers among different churches. They left one church and they came to this other church. You know, so that doesn't make the kingdom any bigger. We're just rotating them. So the bigger the church is does not, you know, indicate that the kingdom of God is growing. But the kingdom of God must grow. It starts out as a stone cut out of the mountain without hands. You know, that's what Daniel saw in Daniel chapter 2. And it went out to fill the earth. This is the message of the kingdom. It's not a message of the church. The church is an instrument. When individual believers that have understood the message of the kingdom come together, you know, then they can practice the principles of the kingdom together. That's the church. But individually, first we must understand that we are citizens, and then, you know, we are appointed to be ambassadors upon the earth. You cannot be an ambassador unless you are a citizen. But I want to read a story for you here in Acts chapter 22. I want to talk more, a little more about, you know, what it means to be a citizen. I'm going to use some natural terms. Citizenship can be acquired either by birth, according to the rules or laws of the land, like here in the United States. If you are born in the United States, you know, then you are born into citizenship, or by naturalization. So let's read this story in the book of Acts, chapter 22. Let's read this exchange between that happened between Paul and somebody they call the captain of the, you know, the host of Romans that came there, you know, who was the, you know, chief captain or something they called him. So this story is in Acts chapter 22 from verse 24. Let's pick up the story there. Now, there was a great uproar and people were trying to kill Paul. So, you know, the chief captain went and rescued him and they brought him into the castle, you know. And verse 24 of Acts 22 said, the chief captain commanded him to be brought into the castle and bade that they should be examined by scourging. They were going to beat him, you know, because he wanted to know why is it that everybody was crying so much against him. So they bound him with thongs, and Paul said to the... Now, I'm going to tell you something about this. You know, this is my next series of teaching right now. You know, the next section. Paul said unto the centurion at Suba, is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is a Roman and is uncondemned? Now, Paul, this guy was very smart, very wise. He always knew what to say. You know, sometimes... if he saw that there were Pharisees and Sadducees in the same room, and he knew that one of them believed, the Pharisees believed in the spirit and resurrection, and the Sadducees, no. You know, so when he sees that they are there, he will pit one against the other. He will say, well, you know, I'm being accused for believing that there is a resurrection. And, you know, I believe in God. And God spoke to me. And then all of a sudden, all of the people start arguing among themselves. So again, he said the same, you know, he did the same thing here. You know, he said, look, did you know that I'm a Roman citizen? My goodness. And as soon as the man heard that, he was afraid. When he was told him, they went and told him, be careful now. This man is a Roman citizen. And the chief captain came and said, tell me, are you a Roman? And he said, yep. And the chief captain said, with a great song, I have obtained this freedom. Well, that's naturalization. But Paul said, no, but I was free born. You know, so we see that this process was even in the Bible way long ago. And I'm going to tell you that what that story is. I alluded to it a little bit yesterday. I said, consider the reason why Christ did not come during the Babylonian Empire. You know, Assyrian, Medo-Persian, all these people, you know, all these empires that Daniel described in Daniel chapter 2 when he saw the golden image the image that Nebuchadnezzar saw in his dream. And he said, thou art the head, and so forth. And he began to describe it down through the ages. Christ didn't come in any of those, during any of those kingdoms. But he said, at the end, God shall establish a kingdom. Daniel 2:43-44. A kingdom that shall not be left to other people, but it will smash all those other kingdoms. Well, the point though is this. At the end, you know, there was this Roman Empire that began to come, and then a revised Roman Empire. You know, the Roman Empire time was when Christ came the first time. What's the difference? I said this briefly yesterday. The all these other kingdoms, Nebuchadnezzar in his time and all these others in their time, when they colonized a place, they carried away the citizens of that country that they just invaded. They carried them away captives. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego carried away captive. All of these people were carried away captive. In the days of Jeremiah, he was prophesying these things, you know, that they will be carried away captive. They were carried away captive. Nehemiah, Ezra, all of them, Esther, they were all carried away captive to all the places where the, you know, their captors carried them. But the Roman Empire was different. And the Roman Empire came, just like we read in this Acts chapter 22. They did not carry the place away. They demolished the place, but they did not carry them, the citizens, away captive. They installed their own government. They bring their own governor and so forth. Now you have to report to Rome. You have to have allegiance to Caesar and so on and so forth. And they will say to you, look, even when Jesus came, they were constantly accusing him of that because it was a treason. It was treason for you to, you know, have allegiance to anybody else other than Caesar. So they would install their own government and people aspired to become citizens of Rome, even though they are in their own country, aspire to have that citizenship, you know, and so. What they would do is they would accuse Jesus. In fact, from the beginning, you know, when Herod knew that somebody said, oh, we've seen a king. We've seen the star of a king that is born, you know, and so forth. I said, king? That's treason. So they have to kill everybody, you know, and they would ask Jesus, do you call yourself a king? Because that's treason. You know, you have to, your allegiance has to be to Caesar. And they say, you know, they ask disciples of Jesus, they come to Peter and Andrew and all the rest of them and say, does your master pay tribute to Caesar? Because they are still trying to figure this thing out. And then they'll come to Jesus and then you ask him all kinds of questions, and then he would say, look, they ask Jesus, what authority do you have? I mean, did you get this authority from Rome? Why are you doing these things? And Jesus would say, well, before I tell you, show me a coin. You know, and I will tell you, you know, then he will show him a coin, you know, when they asked, you know, they will ask him about what authority will tell you, tell them things like, you know, the baptism of John, where did it come from? If you can tell me, you know, then I'll tell you. They couldn't tell him that. Well, then they asked him whether he paid tithes or not. They will show, you know, they will say, well, I mean, not tithes, offerings to Caesar. I mean, taxes, tribute is what they called it. He will say, well, show me the tribute money. And they showed him the tribute money. And he said, well, whose image and superscription is this? They said, Caesar. I said, okay, fine. So give unto Caesar what's Caesar's. But give unto God what's God. And they could not, he was always 10 steps ahead of them. They could never figure him out. But the Roman Empire was different. And when Christ came during that Roman Empire, you know, there's a lesson that we can learn from that. What God intended, there was a model that the Roman Empire had, which was kind of good. Don't carry everybody away captive, but install your rules and your, you know, your policies, install it in the foreign land. And, you know, so this is the role that we as believers are supposed to do. Not just carry it away captive or carry it away to heaven. No, but install the principles of heaven upon the earth and live in such a way that people want to be a part of that kingdom. You know, they want to be a part of that because we demonstrate all the benefits. We demonstrate the power. We demonstrate the riches of the glory of that kingdom to them. And they want to be a part of it. So, I want to be a part of that. You know, I remember when I was a young man and I had a chance to visit, I lived in Nigeria, I had a chance to visit this great country, United States. And from the time I visited, I wanted to be a part of it. Even the company where I worked when I was in Nigeria, before I even came here, we had people that came from the United States. You know, and there were things they used to tell us. There were things I saw on television and everything. I wanted to be a part of that, you know, and so forth. You know, so, and that's what a lot of people wanted. So people migrate into this country. Well, unfortunately, it's not quite like that for the kingdom. It's a process. But before you go to heaven, which is, you know, the fullness of that kingdom, you know, we need to bring people into that kingdom now. You know, so we bring the kingdom to them. Jesus said, go into the world and teach them the things of the kingdom. And make them to observe these things now, not when they get to heaven, but now. So this is what we should be doing. This is the role of the church, is establishing righteousness in the land. This is what the olive tree, the vine tree, and the fig tree should have done in Judges chapter 9. And they didn't do it. They said, we don't care about that. You know, but God is saying, look, in the book of Romans chapter 8, verse 19, the whole creation is still waiting for the sons of God to show up and manifest this kingdom. You know, we got to show up. Now, you say, are you teaching against church? Absolutely not. I'm a pastor of a local church. So, you know, we love people to come to church. But the message of the kingdom has been lost. Praise God. You know, and then we need to restore that. You know, if you are there are many things that the churches do that are different than kingdom today. You know, even church, you know, church says, well, you can't do this in the church. You know, if you're a woman, or you're this, or you're that, or you are not a titled person, or this and that, you can't do these things. Kingdom is different. You know, there are church boundaries, but then there are kingdom boundaries. Kingdom boundaries is, you know, the kingdom of God is an everlasting kingdom. His dominion is one that endureth forever, and the government shall be upon his shield. Every kingdom has a government. The kingdom of God is a government. We covered this yesterday. It's not just some abstract thing. It is a government. Micah chapter 5 verse 2, which we read yesterday, said, you know, thou Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be the least among the cities of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth one that is going to be governor or ruler over my people, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. So it's a government. Isaiah 9:6 says, you know, unto us a child is born and a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. We talked about many verses in Daniel chapter 2 and Daniel chapter 7 yesterday that talked about the kingdom shall be established and given to the saints of the people of the Most High God. You know, this kingdom is going to be established here on earth. First, remember, the stone that was cut out of the mountain with our hands in Daniel chapter 2. He smote the kingdoms of this world and crushed the image. Now, those kingdoms are in this world. They are not in heaven. You know, so, and it was established right here upon the earth. Now, some people may think, oh, you know, that's, you know, when Christ comes back with 10,000s of his saints to establish kingdom rule, maybe. But if that's all it was, Jesus wouldn't pray for the Father to not take us out of the world. He would just say, look, Father, soon as they give their life to Christ, just take them out of the world so that they can just stay here and be ready for us to go back and take possession of everything. No. We're supposed to be establishing the principles of the kingdom of God here while we are ambassadors, citizens of heaven, but ambassadors in the earth. We're never going to be ambassadors when we get to heaven. You don't live, an ambassador does not live in their own country. They reside in the country that they are assigned to. We have been assigned to this world. What are we doing about it? You know, so as a citizen, you have many benefits, you know, which it's all, you find it in this Bible. It's loaded with benefits. Every, thousands of promises in this Bible. And I've taught many times that people should take time to find a promise before they start praying. So that you can align to that. But as an ambassador, you know, you have other responsibilities. You have responsibilities as a citizen, but you have higher responsibilities as an ambassador to represent. And remember, an ambassador is also not subject to the laws of the country that they are residing in. You know, so what are the laws of this world that we are residing in? And we read that yesterday when Jesus was praying in that same prayer in John chapter 17. He said, they are not of this world, even as I am not of this world. We are in the world, but not of the world. Jesus said that himself. Because we are here to represent. We are really, you know, we belong to heaven. You know, we are citizens of heaven, but we are ambassadors here on the earth. But while we are here, we must represent. You know, the ambassador of a country to another country cannot, when they are in their post, you know, and the place where they're supposed to be doing and represent that country, they can't just fold their arms and do nothing and wait until they get back to their country before they do whatever they're supposed to do. No, their job is to do in that foreign country, you know, to try to bring the principles of their own home country to bear upon that foreign country. You know, and they try to influence the thinking, try to influence their ways there. You know, and if they're a powerful enough country that they represent, you know, like the United States, they're a powerful economy. If they have the powerful army in the world, they have the strongest economy and all these things, then they have a real influence. And that's the role that we should be showing. We should be showing people that we belong to the strongest economy. That's right. You know, our economy is not tied to man's economy, folks. You know, we belong to the most powerful. And a few days ago, we talked about the captain of the Lord's hosts, the armies of the Lord that, you know, he walks. The United States always think they have the most powerful army. Well, maybe they do physically. But one angel of the Lord can destroy all of them in one night. We know that. You know, so we serve and we are the pleasure. We serve at the pleasure of that King of Kings, who has also made us subordinate priests and kings under him. Now, so this is so important that we should grow. Understand this. Otherwise, we fall short in our thinking. You know, we will just be narrow-minded. We'll be so focused on things. Well, some people are not even focused on anything. They're just, you know, coasting along. That's even worse. Some people are focused on going to heaven. That's good. That's a good thing. And anybody that's focused on that should continue to do that. I'm not trying to discourage anybody from that. That's a great thing. You know, because, you know, when your journey over here is finished, that's where you're headed. And Jesus said it himself in John chapter 14. He said, let not your heart be troubled. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. You know, and I'm going to prepare a place and come again for you. And where I am, you may be there. So that's a good thing to always look forward to that. Be yourself likewise ready. For the Son of Man cometh in an hour, you know not. Those are all good things. But while you are waiting, he said, occupy. Until I come. You know, that occupy message is what is missing. It is missing because we don't know how to occupy and we don't know the things that we should occupy in. You know, that we should occupy in the things of the kingdom, occupy in teaching the message and the teachings of Christ and trying to get people to become citizens of the kingdom that we represent, you know, and not about just telling them that, okay, well, you know, just, you know, go to heaven. They don't know what heaven looks like. So we have to show them what heaven looks like. You know, Jesus said in Luke chapter 19, the story that he told, you know, and verse 13, he said, occupy till I come. Luke 19 and verse 13. So, you know, we got to occupy. And this business of occupying is doing his business. Like the son said, I came to do my father's will. And my meat, John 4 and 34, is to do the will of him that sent me. That's an ambassador. Sent me and to finish his work. Now, Jesus wasn't doing his work in heaven. Well, there's some work he's doing for us now in heaven. Because he's, you know, he's a high priest over the house of God interceding for us. And I guarantee you, the prayer that he's praying is still the same like he prayed when he was here on earth. He's not praying the Father that take them from the world and bring them to heaven. He's not praying that at all. Because that's what he's praying now, that's what he would have prayed in John chapter 17. He's not praying that. He's praying, Lord, keep them from the wicked one. Let them know who they are so that they can represent and expand my kingdom and the Father's kingdom. Glory to God. You know, and the role that we must play must begin now. The end game is described in Revelation 11:15. And the kingdoms of this world, not the kingdoms of heaven, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ. And he will reign forever and ever, and the elect will reign with him. It's actually called, you know, a rod of iron kind of rulership. Bring everything into alignment, you know. So, but we must start now, and we must walk the walks of God. Jesus said, look, I must walk while it is yet day, for the night is coming when no man can walk. So right now, while it is day, I must walk the works of him that sent me. Well, what is your purpose while you're here? I mean, there's a lot of things that we're chasing after, which we must. You know, people are chasing after, you know, we gotta get a job. We gotta get my business flourishing. You know, I gotta raise a family. I gotta do this and that, you know, and so on and so forth. I need to be married. I need to, you know, do this in the ministry. This, you know, all these things. You know, that we're chasing after. And these are good things. And we must chase after them. They are good. But it is the Lord that maketh us both to will and to perform. That's Philippians 2 and 13. But all these things, there is one thing that is missing. If we lose focus of that one thing, then all these other things, while they are good, will not get the desired results. The desired results as ambassadors of the kingdom of God. Now, this is a message about citizenship and ambassadorship. This is not a message about the whole Bible. I'm teaching this particular topic right now. So we got to focus on this. There are other aspects which we must talk about. And Paul said, look, I've not shunned to declare to you the full counsel of God. So, you know, we have to cover all the other sides. That Jesus said repeatedly in John chapter 17, he said it. As you have sent me, Father, even so send I them. And then in John 20, 21, when he was leaving, he said it to them again. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. You know, how did the Father send him? Acts chapter 10, verse 38. How God anointed Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all those who are oppressed of the devil, because God was with him. And he said, I have sent you the same way. So this is what we must be doing. And Jesus went about to preach the gospel of the kingdom. And as he was preaching, he went everywhere and he preached. You know, and in some places where he went, they said, oh, you know, after he got there, he said, oh, you know, they wanted him to just stay there. And they said, no. I have to preach the gospel to other places also. For this purpose, I was sent. And Jesus told them, look, when you go preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You know, so he was beginning to tell them about that. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven, go and preach these things. Matthew chapter 4, told them verse 17, when you go, preach and say, you know, the kingdom of God is at hand, and so on and so forth. You know, and the kingdom of God, Jesus also talked about it in Matthew 11, you know, and verse 12. You know, he said, look, what is it that you guys went out to see when they were asking about, you know, John the Baptist and so forth? You know, and then he said, the days of the John the Baptist, from that time until now, the kingdom of heaven, you know, is being taken by force. Everyone is pressing to it. This particular one here is a little bit of difficult rendition. You know, God is saying, look, people are pressing into the kingdom. And people must press into the kingdom. You know, because straight and narrow is the way that leads to life. You know, it's hard to get in there. But, you know, it's easier to follow the broad way. But many people follow to destruction. So the kingdom of heaven was always forefront in the eyes of Jesus. Always forefront to him. When he would preach, it was always forefront to him. Everything that he did. Listen to Luke chapter 4. You know, remember in Luke chapter 4, you know, after Jesus was baptized, he went to the wilderness and was tempted of the devil and everything. And he came back, you know, and went to the temple, found the place where it was written in the book of Isaiah, and began to say, you know, and quote Isaiah, you know, 61. And then in verse 21, he said, now, this day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. And he went on and on and on. You drop down to the end of that chapter of Luke 4. You know, it came so, he said, look, while the sun was setting, in verse 40, all they that had any sick with divers diseases and so forth, they brought them to him and he laid hands on them and healed them. The devils also came crying out and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of God. And he rebuked them, suffered them not to know that he was Christ. And when it was day, he departed and went to a desert place. And the people sought him and came unto him and said, look, just stay here with us, because they saw the miracles that he did. And Jesus said unto them, no, this is very key what he said in verse 43 of Luke 40. He said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore I am sent. Glory to God. Now, there's many reasons why Jesus came, you know, but we, like I said, it's a jigsaw puzzle. You have to put it all together. There is John 3:16 that tells us that God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And that's the message of the church. Now, that's the only part we understand. If we don't understand all the things that Jesus said, that, you know, I came to give my life a ransom for the church. He paid a ransom. I mean, not for the church, for the life of the world. We covered this yesterday. He said, my flesh that I will give is, you know, the meat. I gave is my life. You know, I sacrificed my life for the life of the world. He paid the ransom to get the kingdoms back. When the devil told him, look, if you bow down, I'll give you all these things. Jesus didn't argue that, but he knew he had a plan to pay the ransom and get the kingdoms back. And he did. And so this is another thing that Jesus came to do, is to preach the kingdom of heaven. He said, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore I am sent. So you got to pick all the pieces and all the things that Jesus came to do. In another place, in 1 John 3 and 8, he said Jesus was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. You got to put all these things together. And breaking the power of the devil, reestablishing the kingdom of God, was uppermost in God, in Christ's mind. Because he always said, look, I came to do my Father's will, not mine. But people didn't understand it, because he did not come to establish at that time a physical kingdom. People knew, and they had some sense of it, you know, and they were always trying to make him king. The Bible even said that in some places where he knew that they would forcibly come and make him king, he withdrew himself. Even the disciples, his closest disciples, when they asked him, will you at this time restore the kingdom unto Israel? He told them something different, but he also told them that the kingdom of God does not come by observation. It's neither here nor there, this and that. It's already within you. So it started inside of them. And then there are some people that say, well, that's all that the kingdom of God is. It's something that's inside of you. Kingdom of God is the Holy Ghost. Some people even say that, all of those things are still inaccurate. That kingdom of God is a literal kingdom. God is the king over that kingdom. And he invited the children of Israel to be priests. Exodus 19:5, we covered this yesterday. If you will obey my voice indeed, you will be unto me a kingdom of priests. So this is, what God wanted to establish. And the kingdom of God is a literal kingdom. It has a literal king. It has literal citizens and literal ambassadors. There's nothing abstract about it at all. And at that time, when Jesus came, he came to introduce the kingdom, but not the physical aspect to, build something here physically. And people always get confused. There were so many paradoxes about the life of Jesus that confused people. When Jesus said, look, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. People get confused. They think that means some building, his physical building that Jesus is building. And Jesus came and was born in the house of a carpenter. So when he said, I will build my church, people are actually looking for some physical building that he will build. But yeah, the church is a building, but it is not the building of brick and mortar. It is a building that is described in 1 Corinthians. He said, we are builded, for an habitation of God through the Spirit. That's how we are builded. Brick by brick, not the brick of the cement and the thing though, but, layers of God's character until we become fully like him. We're not, it's not. So when he says, I'll build my church, people are looking for build. So today people are building bigger buildings, thinking that that's the church. Well, the building is never the church. It's the people that are inside the building that are part of the church. Now, a local assembly can also be referred to as a church, where two or three people gather together. Bible used to say the church that met in the house of Aquilas or, Priscilla, the church over here, the church over there, Anytime people gather together, in the name of the Lord, they are referred to as a church. But then there is the global church, but it's never the building. Because God does not dwell in building made with hands, seeing that he has made all the heavens and everything. The Bible says the highest God does not dwell in buildings made with hands. So when we think of the kingdom, we need to think beyond the four walls, of the church. And as a citizen, we need to know our rights, even our responsibilities. Citizens have some responsibility. You have to keep the laws. Even if you are not keeping the law, you're going to get in trouble. But an ambassador is something unique. And the uniqueness is they are, most of the time, they spend their time in a foreign land. That's where they are deployed. And in that foreign land, they are there to promote. Their role is to promote the principles of the country that they represent and try to influence that other local government along their own ways. But while they are there, they're not going to learn, they should not be conformed to the culture of that country. They should carry themselves, in a dignified way that align with their own country. That's why the Bible says in Romans 12:1, and 2, that we should not be conformed to the ways of this world, even though we are in this world, but we are not of this world. And remember, the ambassador is not subject to the laws of the land of where they live. They have their own laws. The governor, the local government cannot come and arrest them for do anything. They're an ambassador. You know, they are an ambassador. They are, you know, they just have free passage. You know, it's like, I mean, they live under separate laws. You know, they obey certain laws. They live under certain laws. They are answerable to their own home country, not to that country where they are. Well, ladies and gentlemen, let's wrap it up here. Each country has one ambassador sent to another country. Quite unlike that, God has numerous ambassadors sent into the world. He wants every one of us to be an ambassador for Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:20. Now, are we ambassadors for Christ? Well, if you're an ambassador and Christ is dwelling in heaven right now, then you cannot be in heaven because you cannot be an ambassador while you're in heaven. So we are on earth. Even though we are citizens of heaven, we are deployed here on earth to be ambassadors for Christ on earth. And I hope we have explained the distinction. And today I hope we have also explained the distinction between church and kingdom mindedness. And hopefully we begin to be more kingdom minded. Now, it's a beautiful thing when we have a local church assembly where we can fellowship with other believers. But you know that even the disciples, they got this wrong. Because they saw, some of them saw other people casting out devils. And they said, Lord, we saw some people casting out devils today, but they are not part of our congregation. So we forbade them. You know, and they were being church minded. And Jesus said, forbid them not. Because they are doing it for me. That's kingdom. They may not be part of your own assembly. They may not be part of your own group, but they are still kingdom. And you know, today, you know, if somebody left the you know, a local assembly and went someplace else to fellowship, sometimes they think that they are an outcast because they are no longer part of them. You know, that's church mindedness. You know, as long as they are in the kingdom hasn't lost anything. They can move from one fellowship to another. That's fine. It's all part of the kingdom. It's all good. You know, we're not trying to, you know, we should not be trying to amass some numbers just for the sake of numbers. You know, and somebody just because they don't come to your fellowship does not make them to not be part of that kingdom. You know, these are all the mentalities that we must get away with. I mean, get away from. You know, a believer is a believer. They are a citizen of the kingdom, whether they come to my local church or not. And as long as they represent where they are, then they are ambassadors of the same kingdom. And we are on the same team. Glory to God. You know, we just happen to be many, many, many ambassadors because there are billions and billions and billions on this world that we must deal with. You know, so God has many, many ambassadors and we must recognize that what we are supposed to be doing. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to wrap it up there. You know, I think we have, you know, covered quite a great deal today. Before I yield the mic for reactions, let me acknowledge the people that I see in the room. God bless everyone that's here. I see Jana. I see Lanice. I see Brother Gbenga. God bless you. I see Patricia. I see Sam and Mammy. You know, you are all welcome. Thank you for the room to the room. And thank you for coming. Sister Chioma, good to see you. Heather. And praise, congratulations. You've been in the clubhouse longer than a week. Your little party house thing is gone. Great, you know, Grace, Sister Grace, thank you so much for being here. And Pearl, you are welcome as always. Thank you. And thank you for, you know, those who posted the scriptures. My wife was posting scriptures. Sister Grace was posting scriptures. You know, I love it when you guys help me with that. It is great. You know, because it enables me to focus on the, you know, on just speaking rather than trying to scramble for the scriptures. Elisha, thank you for being here. Michelle, thank you for being here. And, you know, gospel going. Sister Watts, good to see you again. You know, Alexis Olunife. Olunife is my lovely daughter, ladies and gentlemen. She joined us today. So glad to see you. And Kyle and Sister Julia and everybody. And of course, my, you know, Sister Lorna is there and my lady, my fair lady, Lady Ebon. I thank you, every one of you, for being here today. You know, hopefully, you know, you have engaged the Lord in the spirit, because Jesus said, John chapter 6 and verse 63, he said, the spirit is what walks. The spirit is what quickens. The flesh profits nothing. And the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So this tells us that anytime that you are hearing a teaching on the things of the kingdom, you have to engage God in the spirit. Because you can engage in the flesh, it will profit you nothing. He said, the flesh profiteth nothing. But the words that I speak, John 6 and 63, they are spirit and life. It is the spirit that quickeneth. So you must engage. So even while I was speaking, and I think I said this at the beginning yesterday, when I am speaking, and I say sometimes even when I'm preaching at our local service in here, that as I'm speaking, even though I'm the one that is speaking, God has to be communicating to you. And you have to be engaging God in this spirit in order to get it. If you engage in the flesh, you won't get anything. You will just at the end say, oh, that was a wonderful message. And that's it. You know, but it won't make an impact. But if you engage God in the spirit, and if you failed for whatever reason to really engage in the spirit, go back and listen to the replay and then engage him in the spirit. Because if you do, you will notice that all of a sudden you hear one thing from the speaker and the spirit of God will take you into deeper dimensions and reveal even things that the speaker hasn't said along the same subject. He'll just begin to teach you and show you things. That's engaging God in the spirit, which is why I always call for a reaction after I present my topic. I want to hear what the Holy Spirit told you while you were listening, you know, to this teaching. What did he tell you? So I want you to come to the stage and share your thoughts. You know, everyone that would like to do that, please come to the stage and share your thoughts. You know, I know that, you know, every time I ask for throw that invitation out, some people would like to come, some people don't like to come. But come and share your thoughts. You know, we want to hear from you. Come and share your thoughts, because, you know, this is a we don't want it to be a one man show. You know, yes, I presented the topic, but we want to hear your reactions. You know, so come and share. I'm throwing out invitations to several people in the audience. And if I miss you, just raise your hand and we'll bring you to the stage. We want to hear your thoughts. We want to hear from you. What has the Holy Spirit spoken to you while you were listening to this? And what has God spoken to you? Or post your reaction in the chat room. That's good too. You know, either way, we want to hear from you. You know, so God bless you so much, dearly, for being here today. I'm going to go to my wife first, and let's hear your reaction over this room. I know you have to drop to another line. So God bless you, honey. Go ahead.
Amen. Thank you so much. Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Good afternoon. Good evening. Wherever you are, the Lord is good. Wow, it is rich. We thank God for the message of the ambassadorship and citizenship. So we are, you know, as ambassadors for Christ, you know, to represent him here on earth. So that's what I'm getting from this. And the position of the local church, you know, it's, you know, how they in the church gather the people, have their own culture, and how they, you know, build their church to the point where, you know, they know what to do. This part is doing that, that part is doing that. It's in the local church. And, you know, that's apart from us being ambassadors for Christ, you know, going out and representing Christ here on earth. and you know, waiting. You know, not we're not ready to go to heaven yet. We're not ambassadors. We cannot be an ambassador in heaven, because we have to be living outside of our country to be an ambassador. So that's what I got from this message of today. And thank you so much for that explanation. I know it's a blessing to many of us here that had this message, that we're ready to put on our coat of ambassadorship and begin to represent Christ in everything, wherever we are, on the job, whether we go to school, whatever we are doing, to represent Him in the fullness, to represent the fullness of Christ. So thank you so much for this message. God bless you. And I'll be leaving in a little bit. God bless you. Thank you.
Amen. Well, thank you so much for sharing that, your thoughts on that. And yes, you know, for us to be ambassadors, we cannot be ambassadors, you know, while we are in heaven. We are ambassadors only while we are here upon the earth. You know, so that is so important for us to recognize. Thank you for sharing that. Sister Lorna, it is good to have you with us today. And let's hear your reactions.
Thank you, Pastor Yato. I was just thinking of that today, both natural ambassadorship and diplomacy, you know, in the natural of a country, you know, up until early this morning. Then I saw the room about citizenship and ambassadorship. So you used, you know, the natural things to illustrate how we are in the spirit. So it was very applicable for me to come in early this morning and even be awake early this morning and be able to hear your preaching. So thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Lorna, for sharing. You know, yes, the key thing for us to recognize is that an ambassador is not subject to the laws of the country where they reside. You know, they are subject to the laws of their own country that they represent. So that is so important, you know, if we're going to use natural things to try to explain spiritual things. And that's what Jesus did all the time. Whenever time Jesus wanted to teach any subject, he used natural things. All those parables that he taught, they were all natural things. A sower went to sow a seed. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, you know, like a leaven which a woman took. You know, this is tares and wheats. You know, talks about bread, stone, fish, serpent. He just used natural things to communicate spiritual things. So it is important for us to use our natural surroundings to understand spiritual things, you know. The centurion that said to Jesus, you know, speak the word only. He understood that also. He said, look, I also am a man of authority. When I give a command, all the people under me, they do it. I understand how it works. So he used his natural environment, his natural, you know, situation to understand spiritual things. He said, look, if I can do that in the natural, I know that you are also a commander in the spirit. You give the word. You don't even need to come. Just give it and it'll be done. So he used his natural understanding and Jesus said, wow. So it is important for us to look around us and use the natural things to understand, you know, these spiritual things, because the things that are not seen are evidenced by the things that are seen. That's how we understand things. If what's going on in the natural world, what's going on in the kingdoms, you know, what they did in the kingdoms of Babylon and so forth versus how the Roman Empire did their own. You know, there are many things we can learn from those things. And that's why we use natural to try to explain spiritual things. Thank you for sharing, Sister Lorna. Sister Buki, God bless you.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, sir. Good morning, ma'am. I was here yesterday. But a lot was said yesterday, and
I got lost in there because I fell asleep. That was why when you were calling, I was like, nope, I need to go listen to the replay and get this in properly before I open my mouth. So that was why I didn't say anything. I was very tired yesterday. Anyway, today, a lot has been said as well. I'm just gonna highlight the things that were underscored while you were speaking. First, while you were speaking, the prayer of the Lord came, was reminded me where he said, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. That was how the Lord taught us to pray. You know, and I started to think, I said, wow, that's why he prayed like that. You know, this was an exposition to me because, yes, in those days when they ministered to us and preached to us, you know, the goal was, oh, where would you spend eternity and all whatnot. So we tend to think that way. Oh, I do. Oh, I did. Not anymore. And yes, even though we're living here on earth, we live as if we are in transition, really. But, you know, we should be heavenly minded, but earthly worthy and earthly good. We should be living here, you know, what the type of life we expect to live in heaven. And I've always understood that, but you brought it down plainly today, and I just love and appreciate that so much. I always wondered why people behave certain ways. You go into certain churches and they make you feel unwelcome because you're not a member. And I always say, I don't want to be a member of, you know, church. I want to be part of the body of Christ, the whole body. That's always my mindset. But sometimes I wondered, is that wrong to think that way? So I'm very pleased and happy to hear how it was explained today. I'm yet gonna go through my notes and listen to the replay and get more from God on it. But I really thoroughly appreciate the difference when you explain the difference between authority and dominion. Oh my goodness. I was like, yes, you know, when we have dominion, we call the shots. We take authority, but we also should know that we have dominion. God has given us dominion here on earth because we're his ambassadors. I am so blessed with this message this morning. I am still, and then the explanation of Bible, that was another beautiful thing because yes, they say basic instructions while living on earth, or I forgot how it was said before anyway, but I took the new one for living every day.
Before leaving
earth. Yeah, before leaving this earth. Yes, that was how we were taught when we were in Sunday school. But I like your interpretation, says basic instruction of the Bible while for living every day.
Every day, yes.
For living every day. I am going to take that with me. And yes, it is for living every day indeed. For us, while we're here on earth, even when I minister to people, I tend to say, hey, where would you spend eternity? I tend to, you know, move their heart towards heaven. And I thought that was a good thing. But I'm also going to emphasize the need to represent Christ here on earth. That is the first duty we have. You know, we should really be his ambassadors here on earth first, because when we're in heaven, yes, we do not need to be ambassadors. So that was clearly explained, and I do appreciate that a lot. I am going to go through my notes, which are pages and pages, and allow the Holy Spirit to minister it even more to me. So thank you, sir. God bless you for the sacrifice of this room. I just pray that God will continue to give you strength and the grace to do even more in the mighty name of Jesus. I'll yield my mic so others can speak. God bless you, everybody in this room today. God bless you for coming, hearkening to the invitation. And nice to see Sister Nife with us and a few other people. Sam is here from Canada. Thank you for coming. And I know it's a sacrifice first thing in the morning, but God bless you. Thank you. I'll yield my mic.
Amen. Thank you so much for sharing. And those of you who are joining us, maybe perhaps for the first time, thank you for being here. Listen, we are trying to obey his voice. He said, if you will obey my voice indeed, then you will be a kingdom of priests. God called for this room. I as I told people who came at the beginning, we are now here in our seventh week or so. But when we started, it was the hardest thing for me in the world to do. Because look, I can go all night, just be up, do whatever, go night vigil or anything. I love those things. But sleep and wake up in the middle of the night and do anything? No, that was not my thing. You know, and I used to tell my wife, don't wake me up. Just leave me alone. You know, when I wake up, I wake up. But these days, I am even waking up earlier than her. No matter what time I go to bed. Yesterday, I stayed up really late, you know, last night, because I was busy on my job, you know, trying to resolve something. It took me a long time to resolve it. And these days, I've been trying to go to bed as early as 8 o'clock so I can have enough sleep. But you know, I was up till after 10 o'clock and everything. But still, I got up today, you know, I was up by after 2 o'clock. You know, I mean, I got up and I looked at my clock and it, you know, it was 2 something. And the alarm hadn't gone off because I set my alarm for a little later. And I'm like, you know, I'm getting up. You know, the Lord is doing something. You know, and this is the beauty of what God is doing. You know, when he says it's time, then he begins to, you know, put the, you know, impetus in people's minds to do his will. He is God that worketh in us to do his will. Ephesians 2 and 13. It's not of him that willeth or of him that runneth. Romans 9 and 15. But we should will and we should run. You know, and by the grace of God, you know, we, our prayer is that we will do everything we can until there's nothing else to give. that was what Christ did. He gave everything. Until there was nothing else to give. He even gave his life, you know, and so there was not, he finished everything and he said, it is finished. It's done. Paul said the same thing. He said, look, I'm done. I fought a good fight. Yeah, I put it all out there. You know, so my prayer is, you know, let's pray that we can put it all out there. You know, we can't come and do it over again, folks. We cannot, you know, we got to do it this time around and get it right, you know, so. You know, Minister Gwen, good to see you. Welcome to the stage. Your reactions.
Grace and peace from God, our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Grateful to be in this space. I don't go on very many stages because I realize that I have many people that follow me and more than me, the voice of God that lives within me. Amen. And I know some people will go into spaces that they should not be in because they're following others. But I was compelled today to come on your stage because I realize that God is the one through the Holy Spirit that gives us the voice that causes us to draw. And God uses the voice he gives us to draw all men unto him. So I thank you today for your subject regarding citizenship and ambassadorship in the kingdom of God. As a local leader and pastor here in New York City, I've noticed for many years how many people that are in leadership positions are separating the body of Christ through these various associations and organizations and buildings. And we are not truly building the kingdom of God. And so I'm grateful whenever I hear a message that is in line with the true gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I've been teaching in the Old Testament, which is not something that that I had in times past focused on. But I'm grateful because we're in the book of Exodus, which shares with us that we ought not be party to false matters. And that we should not be a part of the innocent and the righteous being slain to justify the wicked. And it talks a lot about people because they're in a particular setting, agreeing with others. If I'm a doctor, I agree with you because you're a doctor. If I'm a lawyer, I agree with you because you're a lawyer. If I'm a preacher, I agree with you because I'm a preacher, all of those types of things. And it reminds me of a scripture in the book of Acts in chapter 5 that warns us and informs us that we are to obey God rather than men. That's Acts 5 and 29, where Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. I say obey God rather than men. Obey God rather than man's traditions, man's titles, man's organizations, man's associations. Amen. And so I'm grateful to be able to come in here so that we can talk about our true call to do what thus saith the Lord, whether anybody agrees with us or not. We're so afraid in ministry, it seems, to raise our voices if we don't have people that are going to rubber stamp us and decide that they come along and agree with us. When God is calling us to be like voices crying in the wilderness and not to be afraid to lift up what thus saith the Lord. So I am grateful that we, hallelujah, are talking about our own citizenship in heaven and our ambassadorship here on earth for the kingdom of God. So I just came, hallelujah, to testify. I just came, hallelujah, to be a witness that God will sustain you in the midst of those that are massaging each other, hallelujah, masturbating each other, hallelujah, instead of lifting up truth. Amen. The government is not our boss, this worldly government. No, our government is of God, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. We are looking to the world to show us who we are, and as long as you do that, you will be in error. This is your friend, really, this is God's friend, Gospel Gwen. Thank you for the time.
Wow. Wow, so powerful. I knew you had a word as I kept pinging you multiple times to come up to the stage. Now, that is powerful. You know, and thank you for sharing that. Listen, you know, anytime, and we talked about this a bit yesterday, the things that are so, you know, highly esteemed among men, Jesus said that in Luke chapter 16 and verse 15. So those things are an abomination to God. What are those things? Accolades, you know, you have people supporting you and all the, like she said, you know, people are appointed by human appointments and things like that. Even, you know, church circles today, you know, we talked about this yesterday, you know, people that, you know, people who are voted in, people are appointed because of their rank and file in society, you know, and they don't follow what God is doing. You know, we talked about this when we introduced the subject of ambassadorship yesterday, that look, ambassadors are not voted in. They are appointed by the kingdom and the king, you know, to go represent. So thank you so much for sharing that. Listen, we cannot be so focused on, you know, what people are going to say, whether they are going to be agreed or not agreed, that we won't, you know, stand out until the voice. You know, if you will indeed obey my voice, Exodus 19 and 5, then you will be a kingdom of priests unto me. So, you know, we must stand out, you know, and by the grace of God, you know, I'm thankful to be able to speak the word. We have this great platform such as Clubhouse. Even in my local church, I can declare the things that, you know, that God gives me because, you know, I don't work for anybody. Nobody pays me a salary. So that also helps me to be able to, you know, just say what I want to say that I believe God is telling me to say, not just to be a rebel, but to be his voice. And I started out today by quoting, you know, Isaiah 50 verse 4. That was my lead off prayer today, that Lord, let my tongue be the, you know, that one of a learner. I mean, as somebody that is seasoned, you know, to know what to say to a person in the right season, similar to what Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6 says, you know, a word in season. And this is the right season to say these things. Because if we want the kingdom of God, like, you know, thank you, Sister Julia, for bringing that out in the prayer, you know, that will be done, that, you know, and those of you who go to my local church here, you will notice that for some months now, I added that clause to the phrase we say at the end. Next time you go, check it out. We used to say this benediction and say, you know, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I added that phrase at the end. Thy kingdom come and thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Check it out next time you look at the screen. You know, we've added that. We want to, you know, look, this is the thing that we must be consumed about. When Jesus spoke in, you know, John 6:33, I mean, about, you know, seek first the kingdom and all that stuff, you know, what should we be, you know, what should we be seeking? You know, he said, look, don't. I mean, the things that the children of this world are pursuing after, he said, that's not what we should be pursuing after. He said, we should seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. What is the kingdom of God that we should seek first? And what is his righteousness, you know, that we should do? So these are the things that we are trying, you know, to bring out here. You know, you can read it yourself. When Jesus was talking this story in Matthew 6, he talked about all the things that, you know, people pursue after. But at the end, in verse 33, so Matthew 6:33, he said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It's so important that we should seek that. And how can you seek something that you don't even know about? You know, so we're trying to make sure that people know it. We're trying to make sure also that the kingdom message must go out in order for the end to come. Matthew 24:14. So vital. This gospel of the kingdom must be taught. And not, you know, not the just gospel of prosperity, not gospel of churchianity, you know, not even gospel of Christianity. A gospel of the kingdom must be taught. And it encompasses everything that we talked about today and even more. You know, government shall be on his shoulder. We talk about that. We are his shoulders. We are his body. Christ is the head. And we are the ones that are going to bring in everlasting righteousness and anoint the most holy. We are the ones that are going to do these things. But we have been lacking in doing it. We've just been sitting on the fence, you know, just waiting to go to heaven. You know, and people might even miss it, you know, because you're not doing what you should be doing. You know, here's what the way Jesus put it. Who then is that wise and faithful servant whom the Lord has appointed to give meat to his house in due season? Blessed is that servant whom when the Lord shall come, shall find him so doing. He said, verily, I say unto you, that he will say to that servant, you are a good servant, you know, and he will appoint him ruler over his goods, you know. But if, and that servant shall say, my Lord, delayeth his coming, and instead of doing what he should be doing, he's just waiting for his something to happen, then the Lord shall come and catch that servant in a time when he doesn't expect it, and he will appoint his portion with the hypocrites, and there will be a weeping and gnashing of teeth. You know, that is not a good thing, you know, for us to be. So this is where we must be doing, you know, what the Lord wants us to do. And we can read that story in Matthew chapter 24. Who then is that good and wise servant whom the Lord has made ruler over his house to give them meat in their due season? And my prayer is, Lord, let the true ministers of the Lord stand up, you know, who will fulfill this verse, to be given due meat in due season. And may we be found so doing when the Lord comes. This is so key to everything that we've talked about. In the last 2 days, I invite you to listen to the replay from yesterday. Very foundational. You know, we discussed many things about, you know, principles of the kingdom, what God had in mind and so on and so forth, how Adam lost it and how we must get back there and all of that. And that's coming in the next few days as well. I'm going to be going deeper in this teaching to explain. We've covered the foundation of kingdom principles. We've covered citizenship and ambassadorship, but we're going to move into dominion. And, you know, coming into his image and his likeness. That is so important. We have to understand that also. And, you know, we cannot. And lastly, I will encourage us, as I've said in many of these rooms, that spiritual maturity demands that we add to what we have, not take away, you know, so. You know, we are not trying to take away from anything. While we are trying to say, oh, we want to know some deep things, are you going to throw away even the basic things? No, that's not what the scripture says. The scripture says that we should add, 2 Peter chapter 1, you know, verse 6, add to your faith virtue, add to virtue knowledge, add to knowledge temperance, add to temperance patience, and so on and so forth. You know, so not take away. So the basic concepts must still be there. While we are climbing the ladder, if you drop something, you can't go forward. God showed me this revelation one time. You got to go back and get what you dropped. You can't drop anything. You know, and we get to each landing place on the ladder, you know, each rung you climb. If you drop anything, you got to go back and get it. So we're not throwing anything away that we've already learned. We don't want to learn mysteries while we forget to love our neighbor as ourselves, you know, and these are the things, you know, that we must carry along. So as we carry along, that's why when we do these rooms, I go back and forth between different kinds of subjects, because we don't want people to just go in one way and then forget other things. You know, we must carry along everything that we've already known. And lastly, I say this, any scribe, Jesus said, when he was teaching the parables of the kingdom. And I love those parables. And, you know, I've thought about on them many times. But many scribes, you know, Jesus said, every scribe, Matthew 13 and verse 52, which is instructed into the kingdom of heaven. Now, those scribes, they knew the Torah and they knew all these things, you know, and so forth. But when they are now instructed into the kingdom of heaven, they will be like a man that is a householder that can bring out of his treasure the old things that he already had. Don't throw those old things away, but also new things as well. You know, so the old things that we knew, give your life to Christ so that you can be saved. And that's still true till today. They cannot drop any of that. You know, if any man be in Christ, a new creature, old things are passed away, the old, all things are become new. That is still true to today, you know, whereby is given unto us the name of Christ, Acts 4, 11 and 12. There's no other salvation or any other. It's still true till today, you know, but whereas in the Old Testament, the law was said, you know, do this and do this, don't do this, don't do that, and so forth. You know, in the New Testament, we are told to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we believe on him, then we are to represent him. And when we represent him, then we are doing the master's will. Thank you so much, everyone, for joining us today. It's been an amazing time to have you with us. Again, I acknowledge everybody that's in the room, you know, and Sister Pearl, I think I tried to bring you up. I'm going to try again. Okay, there we go.
Good morning, Pastor Yatsa. Good morning, everyone. Just thank God for being able to be here today. I just wanted to mention that the word was really impactful and just a good reminder that the end goal is not just to get saved and just to sit pretty and focus on going to heaven while, you know, many others perish around us. It's almost a very selfish approach. you know, and just knowing that we have to remember the Great Commission and sharing the gospel, being ambassadors that just represent and speak for and, you know, let others know about the kingdom of God. But one thing that stood out to me one time was not only the Great Commission in the Bible when I was reading it, but hearing it from actually a well-known atheist point of view. Normally, I don't really care what they said, but there's a well-known atheist named Penn Jillette. He was a magician. And he said, if you're a Christian, why would you not proselytize? He said that he doesn't respect people who don't proselytize about their beliefs. You know, if we truly believe there's a heaven and hell and that people are going to go to hell and not get eternal life, and you don't say anything, how much do you have to hate them to not mention anything or try to, you know, help them to have a better end? And that always just stood out to me about taking my duty and the Great Commission as an ambassador for Christ more seriously, just hearing it like that. So I just wanted to share that. And this teaching was a great reminder that, you know, it's not just about me and my end. I think sometimes I get selfish, and when things are just going haywire in the world, and it's like, well, God, please just help me to make it. But, you know, it's a very selfish approach, and we need to think about the souls of many, many other people. And that's all I have to say. I yield my mic.
Amen. Thank you so much for coming to share that. And listen, as we round up, thank you again, everyone, for being here. I want to invite you to follow the house, the little greenhouse button at the top. Join, really, is what it is these days. Join the club, you know, and you'll get notified when we host rooms under this club. But, you know, if you follow Lady Emma or myself individually, you get notified when we start any rooms. We have other clubs as well. But for this particular room, you know, you are invited to join us. We are here by the grace of God every morning. And it's Arizona morning time. May not be morning for you. Right now, Arizona time continues to be 4:15 a.m. in the morning. Pacific time, West Coast, is 3:15 a.m. That's early. And, you know, on the East Coast, it's now 6:15 a.m. I believe in the U.K., it is 11:15 a.m. In Nigeria, it remains 12:15 p.m. So if you can join us at any of these different times, and again, let's pray for one another, you know, and pray that God will continue to enable us. Remember, the key word for this room and this platform during this season that God called for it is Leviticus chapter 6, verses 12 and 13, that every morning we must come back and lay the wood in order upon the altar and put more fire, and let the fire never go out. And we're hoping and praying and trusting God that the fire will never go out. And sometimes getting up early is not the key, it's not the way to do it, you know, and trying to get this message out early in the morning is actually also not the way to do it. You know, you can probably, you know, get more people to listen to it, you know, some other time during the day. But so far, this is what God is directing, and we will do it that way. And people may also go back and listen to the replays. And we are thankful if the message impacts one person. We are thankful if it impacts a lot of people. We are thankful. Jesus preached to thousands of people, and he also took his time to preach to one lady at the well. You know, so we are thankful every which way that the Lord calls it. We are thankful. And thank you all so much for joining the room today. Let's continue to remember who we are, but first, whose we are. You know, we belong to the Lord, and he is our King, you know, and we are his ambassadors. So that's who we are, and we must represent. So thank you so much for joining, and God bless every one of you. This room will now be closing. Join us again from time to time at this same time of day. And those who just recently joined, the room is about to close. Zika, thank you for joining. Ro, thank you for joining. And the room is about to close, but you can listen to the replays. The replays will be available. The replay for this room will be available a few minutes after the room closes. And we will be playing an exit song and just enjoy it as the room closes. So thank you again for joining.
My friend used to pay $163 for car insurance. No.
Sorry about that. Trying to play the song. Something else jumped up. But I will play the song. And then you can just enjoy it as we close the room. You know who you are. You've been called to show His excellence, to represent. Who does He say you are? What are you? You are His ambassador, citizen of heaven, nonetheless, but His ambassadors. Right here on earth. Yeah. Hello, thank you everyone. And that is the conclusion of our room today. Carry the knowledge of whose you are and who you are with you today and everywhere you go. God bless you all. This room will now close in 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. Blessings everyone. Have a great day. Thank you for joining.